We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Say hello to our friends jumping on now in Boston at WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station, also 98.5 K-Fox, the South Bay's classic rock in beautiful San Jose. And our friends at Big Dog 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri. Welcome to the show, and a big show it is. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, categories will be deer and the drive-thru. The word has words that you're saying all wrong. We'll drink and toast the show of the day and profile this. And today is the day we do our random question. 844-999-OLA. Before we got off the last hour there, we were talking to a lovely lady named Jen, and she said she had a lot of tattoos, 28 of them, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
And the reason was because of our random question, what is your tattoo of? And as we're in the celebrity category, I don't know who this guy is. Maybe you know, Wobbin. It's a guy named Kane Brown. We were talking about Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
He's a country singer. He's like the latest thing.
Okay, they got matching tattoos or tattoos of each other's names.
Yeah, then it's over.
Right. He and his fiancee, Caitlin Jay, they got married at a farm near, any guesses?
Nashville.
Oh, you know what? Wow. Great guess, Steve. Nashville. There were 200 guests in a bouncy house. And instead of writing out vows, they exchanged letters to each other earlier in the day. And speaking of permanent, he's already showing off a tattoo of her name that he got on the side of his hand. It's written in cursive, and the bottom of the Y is curving into an infinity symbol, and she got the same one of his name. So they're matching up on tattoos.
Hold on.
I don't know.
What was her name?
Caitlin. Caitlin J.
That's going to be hard to change to a different name. Look, it's doomed. I'm sorry, man. It's just, once you do that, I am convinced that it is over. I mean, you could have your 65th wedding anniversary. They're old. You do it, and guess what? You're not going to die. You're still going to get divorced. I had a guy that I knew named Carlos. He's a very cool guy. He'd been dating this chick, Andrea, forever. And when I met him, I want to say they'd already been together for like 7 years. I knew him for about three. He was going to ask her to marry him, right? And to us, really, it's a slam dunk, right? They're always together, whatever. They seem like a good couple. But one day he came in and he rips open his chef's coat and he has Andrea tattooed across his chest.
Oh, right? Jesus.
And I just looked at him and I'm like, oh, man. So fast forward about 2 weeks, he asked her to marry him. She says, no, it's over. And I'm like, man,
what are you going to do with that?
Once he did it, you ruined it. Hello, Hayden. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
All right, Hayden, we're still in the entertainment category, so we're going to ask you about your musical taste here.
Miles, real quick.
Yeah.
And I was going to say this earlier. That guy, Kane Brown, is that his name?
His name is Kane Brown.
Robin, tell me if this is correct. Common came in and said, hey, make the point he's a black country singer. Then they're saying that's called progress. We're coming together. The only reason I bring this up, when you said the name Kane Brown, in my mind, I'm like, that sounds like a big black dude.
Really?
Then you say country singer, I just assumed it wasn't.
But I thought it was going to be funny that she's going to be the future Mrs. Brown.
Hello.
Yeah. All right, let's go with this question here, random question style. What would you say is your favorite party song to jam to? You want to be in a good mood? You want to throw down? You put on this party jam.
I got to say Shots. LMFAO for sure. I mean, it's just a go-to.
It is. Yep. You know, I think many people would agree with you that that's probably...
It's a dumb song. It's not even a good song, but it definitely puts you in a good mood.
Okay, yeah.
That's completely not agree.
And it depends on and if you're sober, not sober, it all seems to kind of work out.
Yeah.
Put you in a better mood.
What, do you have a go-to?
I like putting on an AM Mexican station.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
no matter what, man, I get in a good mood immediately. All you got to do is go to the dial, hit seek, look for any kind of Mexican radio station, and just go to town. It's great, you know, because it'll be like, you know,
new numero uno. And you can't understand. They're like, this weekend at Lowe's, get great deals on. And you're like, wow, so crazy. The reason we ask, what is your favorite party song? Bret Michaels.
Oh, God.
He says, people always assume that a song like Nothing But a Good Time is easier to write than something emotional like Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yes, it is. But,
but it turns out, according to Bret, good time party songs are the toughest ones to write. He said, quote, when you're partying and having a good time, there's no emotion in you that says, let's sit down right now and write a song. But when you have something break your heart, those moments are the toughest of your life. Oddly enough, most define songs and easier songs to write because you have an exact emotion. So in other words, he's not happy.
Yeah, all right. I hear what he's saying. Let me break it down, and I think most musicians would agree. And it'll explain why pop music consistently is what it is, all right? So, yes, if you're going to sit down with the goal of writing a song, chances are there should be something on your mind. More likely than not, probably not positive, because that's why people feel the need to get stuff out of the system. Understood. The other thing is, as far as writing, what do you say, a good time party jam, you do that because it's so easy, right? So, like, a good time party jam is sit down and play something infinitely stupid but easy to digest on whatever instrument you have, and then you just put in the stupid lyrics. I mean, honestly, like, any, if you sat down to write a song and you have the ability to write a song, you could write 10 quote-unquote party jams in the time it would take you to write one of the other ones, no matter how your emotion is, because the difference is this. If you're writing a song that matters to you, you're a lot more critical about how it goes, and when you're writing a party jam, man, it's like, look, these are the three notes you need. This is the order we're going to do it. This is the drum beat. Sing whatever you got to sing.
Tequila.
Anyone can write that. I hear what he's saying, but, like, man, anyone can write that.
Random. That's why I want to ask questions.
Not only do I not like Bret Michaels, right? I'm fine with Bret Michaels. I don't know much about him. I always hated Poison. They just pissed me off because they kept getting called a rock band, and then other record labels started signing nothing but other crap, right? So things turned to crap for a while. Poison goes away, which they should have. He does his solo tours. I don't care. And then 2 years ago, I'm at a goddamn store, and I'm going to buy a treat for my dog. I go down the aisle, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know how he legitimizes this. There's a freaking Bret Michaels dog treat, man. Like, somehow.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
But I'm looking at this, and there he is with that stupid bandana. I'm like, even my dog, man, right? Like, can I escape this guy? It doesn't make any goddamn sense. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
All right, Charles, let's see if this pertains to you. What are you or were you too fat, too thin, too tall, or too short to do?
The first thing that pops to your mind is when you're at the amusement park when you're, you know, shorter than all your older brothers, and you get to that awesome roller coaster that you were trying to grow up since last year to get on.
That's the worst feeling, too.
I mean, I'm like the most average sized person you could probably think of.
How big are you?
Like 6'1", 175.
So you're still too big for an airplane seat.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. God. 6 feet, 175. Right, like, I mean, you're a monster.
And still uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that crazy?
You're right, man. As far as the, because once a year, take the kids to the fair, right? And my son being the shortest, and trust me, they're hip to the afro, because they'll come over and mush it down, not tall enough. And in a kid's life, a year is a ridiculously long amount of time. It is truly a decade, all right? So you wait all summer, go back to the fair. They have the same freaking rides. There's the beelines toward the one that he wanted to ride, but he couldn't, and his sister did, and his sister likes to rub things in. He goes darting over there, man, still too short.
This year he's too short, too.
Oh, he was, man, to say this kid was crushed, like, you feel bad for your kid, like, they hurt themselves, or they get bad news. Like, this, it broke my heart, man.
Well, it's just a matter of, you know, I'm slipping out of there.
I get that, but you know how kids are, man. They want to do anything, and you say, hey, man, you can't do this. I promise I won't. Like, they have the best of intentions, and it's like, look, man, if you get on this ride, when it swings around, you're going to fly out, and you're going to crash in that house over there, and you're going to die, you know? And no, I won't. I'll hold that extra tight. Nothing you can do. So now he has to wait another year.
I was with some friends and family, and we were at a sporting event, and you know, we live downtown. We walk around a lot. And it's, I think that a lot of people just aren't able to walk. You know, there comes a point where some people, I have friends and family who come and visit me, perfectly healthy, you know, 45-year-old buddy of mine, and he
just
won't, he won't walk three frickin' blocks, right? It's just the way he is. But, so one of these people's significant others was of larger size. And just couldn't make it. I mean, basically just couldn't make it.
How far could you get before?
And not only that, but we weren't in an area that was close to a major street. We're still kind of in the parking lots area of this thing. We had a long way to go.
You got to do a parking lot,
we had a long way to go to get out of this. You know, like we had a long way to go just to get to a road, even get to cab to call. And so there was one of those bikes, one of those guys on one of those carriage bikes. And they go by, and there's two seats in there. So they get in that bike. And I mean, you can just see the look on this guy's face.
Did you outwalk it?
When they get in the back, because he's really like, he gets out, he circles around, he looks at his bike, he makes sure his bike can handle this, yeah, physically.
Heavy is this person? There's a lot
plus, probably four.
Wow. Okay.
And
damn.
It's leaning, you know, and I thought, oh, God.
It was leaning.
Oh, yeah. And I thought, oh, man. I hope he was like, I got this. This isn't going to be a hard time. I got this. And he stood up to put all his weight down
right.
to get the thing moving. And it took like about 4 seconds for the front pedal to get all the way. And then he was like, then the next one. And then the next one. And then the next one. It was like somebody like climbing up a huge mountain. And then he starts to get this thing rolling. And I was like, yeah! Like,
now, is this person aware? I mean, is he trying to be subtle about
no,
it?
He just went around to check the bike to make sure the bike was
right. But not, you know why he's checking.
I know exactly because he's looking underneath.
Well, what I'm saying, but you don't think they really picked up on it?
I think like anything else, you know.
I mean, what I mean? I think you know.
I think you know, and that's got to be uncomfortable and to be put in that situation. Or, you know what I mean? And
we'll walk to the country.
That's what I said. Greece has banned fat tourists from riding on donkeys after. The animals were being left with spinal injuries. This is a true story. The move comes after images emerged of donkeys climbing the narrow steps of the Greek islands of Santorini, holding obese holidaymakers. Lawmakers in Greece have since pledged to do more to help the animals. The country's Ministry of Rural Development and Food has published a new set of regulations regarding donkeys' well-being after receiving multiple complaints following the media coverage. These state donkeys giving tourist rides in Santorini should not carry any loads heavier than 100 kilograms or one-fifth of their weight. 100 kilograms.
It's about 220, 240 pounds.
All right, I can ride a donkey.
I can ride the donkey.
Animal activists on the island claiming the donkeys were being forced to carry ever-herring loads while they worked their long hours 7 days a week without shelter, rest, and water. So there you go. Owners of the walking donkeys should ensure that the animal's level of health is high.
So no more fat tourists on donkeys.
Random question, 844-999. Hold on, more calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Your guess is as good as my count. The categories will be roadkill deer and the drive-thru. Your guess is as good as mine.
Same
right
thing.
After emails on our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Hello, random, Colton. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room. Random.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Colton, we're going to get dirty with you here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, man. When was the last time you had to deal with poop, Colton, that was not yours?
Well, I'm in the process of transferring a three-year-old out of pull-up, so just a couple days ago.
All right. So you're in the pull-up stage of the
lovely
game.
Lovely, didn't make it. Well, just try to get out of the pull-up stage. Yep.
Well, that's you're on that you're on the bubble. You know what I mean? The pull-up stage is right there, close to being potty trained.
So. Miles is painting the silver lining, and he is correct. But like anything, you really want this to be over. There are few things that bring a parent more joy than knowing you don't have to buy diapers or pull-ups anymore.
Yep.
Oh,
no,
God, yeah.
Totally. My cat is a bit of an idiot. And every once in a while, unfortunately, his stomach gets the better of him. And I've tried different types of food and dry food and wet food and all the different foods. But when he goes to the bathroom, he ends up stepping in what he makes. And then he'll jump up on my bed and there'll be poop marks
Like, I'll have poop prints on my comforter. And it's almost like washing your car and then you're just guaranteeing it's going to rain. Anytime.
No, it's not like that, Miles.
I wash my comforter, that cat gets back up on there and puts poop all over it.
See, when you wash your car and it rains, you go, God damn it, of course this happens.
Yeah.
When there's poop that's not yours on your bed and it has been tracked around, I don't think to myself, it's just like washing the car and it's nothing like that. It's poop in your bed. Because here's another thing. See, even if you didn't wash your car and it rains, your car gets wet. Like, you accept that your car will get wet. I do not accept that foreign poop or even my own ends up in bed. These two things are mutually exclusive. Nobody likes stepping in poop, but you do understand that when you wear shoes, they touch everything on the surface of the street. When you step in poop barefoot, it's a much different experience.
Mm-hmm. I woke up to the smell. I'm like, what is it? And I looked and I turned on the light and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because it's 5 a.m. I don't have another blanket. I got one blanket. You know what I mean? So this thing's got to go in the washing machine right away.
So he pooped at that time and climbed the bed?
And he smeared it all over my comforter. And I'm like, damn it, man.
What about your pillows or you, man?
On the sheets, on the comforter, and then I got that on my arm.
Wait. How often does this happen?
I have to wash my comforter at least once a week.
Because of that.
Because that's where he stays. And I can put another blanket down and get that. I just have to wash the poop off.
But I'm saying, like, is there poop on your blanket, like, once a week?
I just washed my blanket last night, and there's already a small spot of poop on it this morning.
Can you just close your door?
No, because he'll just sit out there and meow until a little bit.
Listen, I mean, look, man, I'm not going to tell you how to live. And maybe it's just me, but you have a decision. Like, all right, 5 o'clock in the morning,
he wins.
I can listen to a cat meow, and it is very annoying. It's very frustrating, right? I can listen to that, or I can get up and have to wash my sheets because it tracks poop in. And my thought is, I'm going to be awake either way, to not have to deal with fecal matter, I'm taking the other, man.
Reason we asked, when was the poop not yours? Back in June, a 38-year-old woman named Rachel Fadanian, of Lakewood, Florida. She stabbed her 40-year-old husband, Bryant, and she killed him. But she says it was an accident. She was just cutting up a pizza, and as she was walking through the living room, her dog pooped on the floor. She slipped on the poop and fell onto her husband, knife first, stabbing him and killing him.
Do you believe this?
The detectives, they couldn't find any signs of dog poop anywhere in the living room. Also, that wasn't the only story Rachel gave the cops. At one point, she said that her husband, that he was accidentally running at her, and she slipped and accidentally stabbed him. Believe it or not, the cops are not buying either of these stories, and she was arrested just last week for murder. But keep in mind, this happened back in June, and she's still been free the entire time based on the slipping on the poop story and the fact that it hadn't been corroborated yet or it hadn't been, proven to be wrong.
Listen, I've never murdered anyone. If I did murder someone, all right, I would think that knowing that the police are going to show up, all right, and I'm going to come up with my alibi, I'm going to come up, and I've seen Dateline, right? Maybe they hired someone, they were out of town, and they get caught. Maybe I say I came home and I staged the place to look like a robbery. But in the amount of time I'm thinking I'm going to kill someone and then come up with a lie to tell the cops, I would be angry. In fact, this is how I would say it. The cops go, well, what happened here? Honest to God, I was cutting up pizza. I was walking it into the living room. I slipped on dog poop and accidentally stabbed him. And immediately I would end that with, because I'd realize that's the worst. Like, you had time to think of this.
Time out. You don't own a pizza cutter. You don't want a pizza cutter? I mean, like, am I crazy because I have a pizza cutter? Is that unusual?
I have two pizza cutters. Some people don't have pizza cutters.
A standard thing that most people, like a spatula.
But like, even if you don't, typically, if I'm delivering you the food, I don't walk in also with the knife. Like, I leave the knife in the kitchen.
Like, she's cutting the pizza with a knife. Robin, do you have a pizza cutter in your home? Tell me you got a pizza cutter.
I do, but I also have a pizza stone because I respect the pizza.
Mike Hawk, I know you probably... Oh, you have a pizza cutter? See, that's what I'm saying. Don't most people have a pizza cutter?
He's at least got the round pizza cutter.
Most people have a pizza cutter. I just can't believe you had this much time to come up with some alibi to tell the police and what you came up with. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter the detective, because I would say, this is BS. Miles would say, ma'am, I don't believe you, because how do you not own a pizza cutter? Either way, you're lying, right?
And not only that, but if you ever go to one of those restaurants and they give you scissors to cut the pizza,
I hate that.
Leave. Walk up and leave. Like, dude, this pizza's going to suck, and I'm going to pay too much money for it. I am out.
This is my belief in those places. First of all, their version of mozzarella cheese is fresh mozzarella, which, while delicious, it's delicious in certain instances, not on the pizza.
Nope.
Second of all, they call it artisan pizza because it is not round. And the only reason it's not round is because they can't hire anyone who's smart enough to press down a piece of goddamn dough and make a round pizza. No one who knows how to make pizza, you'd be, it's like when we tried to poop in our pants. If you don't know, we wore adult diapers for a whole show to see if you could poop in your pants.
Or pee.
And
even just pee.
Someone had said that psychologically, you can't bring yourself to do it, even though you know your clothes will be fine. It's just as an adult,
right.
You've been trained not to, right? So we tried, nothing happened, okay? So I feel like it's the same thing with pizza. If you know how to make pizza, you would not be comfortable just putting out these weird-shaped pies. Like, naturally, you just want to make a round pizza.
That's it.
I hate the
random, random.
Hello, Keaton.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Miles, real quick. Random, I cut my pizza with scissors. I don't own a pizza cutter. It's here they come.
God.
Here they come.
Buy a pizza cutter.
Who the hell has a pizza cutter? Use a knife. I'm a multitasker.
Get a pizza cutter. I'm telling you. It's a game changer. All right, let's go with this one there, Keaton. You live by yourself. You got a girlfriend, wife. What do you do? What you do?
I'm actually with my parents right now in the process of moving out.
Okay. All right. This is a perfect question then. Where do you go to get away? Where do you go to hide out from either your parents to get some quiet? If you have a garage in the back of the house, is there a place where you can go to a bar for a few hours or anything like that where you go like, you know what? If I need to just get away for a little while, I can go there.
Oh, yep. I'm heading down to the tavern about 8 minutes away.
Okay. And that's your spot?
Oh, yep. That's my spot.
Okay. And what do you normally start out with when you go there?
I'd like to have just a good old Coors Original.
That's a great beer.
And, yeah. That's what I go with.
Now, how long do you stay there when you just need to get away?
Oh, I guess it depends on who walks in, but it could be anywhere from a couple hours to 4 or 5.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
I dig that.
Depending on who calls you, do you step outside to answer the phone call based on the fact that you don't want the people who are calling to knowing where you are and that you're hiding away in a bar?
No. I guess to the beer garden, but no, I don't
care.
All right.
Okay, all right. The reason we ask, where do you go to get away? According to a new survey, the average man spends a total of 7 hours a year hiding in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
The main reasons are, number one, for some quiet time. Number two, to get away from their partner nagging them. Three, to get a break from the kids nagging them, which doesn't always work, even with the door closed and the lock. To avoid chores and to use the phone. Survey also found that about 10% of the bathroom trips at home are interrupted by someone barging in or banging on the door or talking through the door. Unfortunately, the survey did not ask how often women or where they hide out or what they do, but it was just
for the one to know don't care, and it's fine with me. I will say, as far as getting away from the kids, I will try to hide the bathroom. That's the only other reason I go to the bathroom, other than your business. And within 2 minutes, Dad, are you in the bathroom? And you just want to say, yeah. And even when you say, I'll be out in a minute, this is what I discovered with kids. You say, I'll be out in a minute. Now, when you say that to an adult, they leave the room. The kids just sit on the bed and literally wait for you. And you realize that they're there on the other side of this door, and it's just, I'm done.
Random,
you ruined the time.
Random.
Hello, Blaze. Welcome
random,
to the random, men's room.
Random. Hola.
Hola.
Hello, Blaze. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Let's go with this one here, Blaze. Was that a nickname or a family name?
It's a nickname.
Okay. Blaze, what did you have to cancel? What were you looking really forward to, but they just had to cancel it?
Just multiple things in general, just life gets a hold of you. Let me see, the last time I've had to cancel on friends a lot because either we didn't have enough money to make it out or I just was too lazy.
Well, canceling because you're lazy. I mean, like, that's a decision to make. You've just agreed I don't feel like doing it. But not having the money, man, that is, that's just a killer.
Do you ever have any trips that you couldn't take or places that you were going to go and then you had to back out of that?
Yeah, when I was just getting out of high school, I got this nice inheritance and I was planning on taking a trip to Europe. And then I was like, well, I'm going to try and get a job instead. And then that never really worked out. So,
and do you still have any of that inheritance left or is that long gone?
No, I spent it all on tattoos.
You spent all, how much did you get for an inheritance? I've never gotten a windfall of money or anything like that. What was that, if you don't mind me asking? How much money?
Well, he wasn't actually a family member per se. He was one of our family friends. But I grew up with him. It was like $1,200. So I spent, actually, I think it was about $2,000. I spent $1,200 on that with a car and then the rest on tattoos.
Okay. All right. Well, that was awful nice of him. He must have liked you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
All right. It's quiet hush money.
Yeah.
Do you still want to get to Europe?
Yeah, of course. I mean, right now I'm living with my wife and we have multiple animals and we're renting, so it's a little bit hard to be able to get away right now.
Wait. How many animals is multiple animals? Are you like...
Five cats.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, and there's that thing where they're like, you need to get a cat box for, you know, each cat plus an extra one. I was like, well, we live in a small, you know, small place, so yeah, we're not going to have six litter boxes scattered around the house.
Do your neighbors think you're the crazy people?
Yeah, most of the time. They're like, oh, yeah, I saw this new cat in your window. I was like, nope, we've had that one for a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is it that loves the cats more? Is it you or is your wife? Like, which one of you is mostly responsible for five cats?
I think it's mostly me because mm-hmm. I walked into the relationship with one cat. She had one cat as well. We ended up fostering one other cat that's kind of been adopted now. And then, let's see here. And now we're kind of hosting her mom's cat. And then last year we got our own little kitten for ourselves. I'm definitely the antagonizer. I also used to volunteer at the animal shelter.
See, this be a lesson to people.
Where do you think mine came
people
from?
That volunteer to animal shelter, if you get in a relationship with them, you're going to have a menagerie.
Look, we have this great group that comes and we work with them at the radio station, and they're the Motley Zoo down in Tacoma. And they do a lot of rescue work, and they do a hell of a lot of good. Problem is, they bring these puppies and these kittens to the back of Pain in the Grass, and you just sit back there and you're like, oh, the little puppy, and you just hold it for like 3 hours, and all you want to do is like stick him under your coat and take him home, because it's too much. Cats the same way, man. They got all these little kittens back there. It's awesome.
The thing I like most about this, keep in mind, this is backstage of a massive rock concert, right? And there are massive bands that are there, and a lot of bands, especially the younger ones, man, these are tough looking dudes. They got the leather, the tattoos, they got all this stuff, all these things that you see in the picture where they look cool, and you meet them, and they still seem cool. And you walk around this one corner where these puppies are, all right? These guys melt down. You haven't lived until you've seen, like, the guys from Korn nuzzling up the pup and melting down.
Randy Blythe's in there going, oh, look at the little puppy!
Was it David Dreamy? Like, all these guys, man, and, like, you just see them, and I'm like, it's puppies, dude. They take down anyone.
It is. The reason we asked, well, what did you have to cancel? This is kind of a crazy story, and it goes back a few weeks here to Columbus Day. Columbus Day was on, what, a Monday this year? I don't know how you're supposed to celebrate Columbus Day.
Not every Monday. It's always a Monday, right?
Is it? Okay.
I don't know.
It says the largest city in America, named after Christopher Columbus, canceled Columbus Day this year, claiming that it's too broke to celebrate. Local government officials in Columbus, Ohio, said they did not have the budget to allow city employees to take the day off Monday. But organizers of the Columbus Italian Festival think they just wanted to be politically correct in the wake of last year's national push to abolish the longstanding holiday. So traditionally, as far as Columbus goes, Columbus is Italian. So in a lot of towns, especially Columbus, Ohio, they celebrate Columbus Day as more of an Italian Heritage Day.
Well, sure.
But the quotes on this story are tremendous. Here, let's just continue. It's very in vogue politically right now to do that, said festival board member Joey Contino, noting how he sees cities across the country starting celebrating instead Indigenous Peoples Day. He says, quote, it's not PC for me to say anything against Indigenous peoples. You can kick Christians. You can kick Catholics. That's the message it sends to us, and that's what it feels like. We're Europeans, and we lop Indians' heads off, which is just not true, quote, unquote.
I'm not sure that's what everyone's thinking.
I don't think so either. Either way, officials insist, though, that they simply didn't have the cash to pay for all 8,500 employees. The city only had a big enough budget to celebrate Columbus Day or Veterans Day this year. Since most of the workers are vets, they decided, hey, let's celebrate that day in November and give them the day off. We have a number of veterans who work for the city. We thought it was important to honor them on their day off. Contino believes the city is just trying to play it safe. He says, if you're a mayor of a city and its name is Columbus, why wouldn't you celebrate that? Use it to unite everybody. Use this day to celebrate the entire culture, celebrate Italians, Indigenous, everyone. Supporters of the Indigenous Peoples Day movement praised the city's decision. The past is the past, according to Native American Indian Center of Central Ohio director Tyrone Smith.
It may not be pretty.
But
we cannot hold what happened back then against today's society.
Yeah, we ain't mad at pale face no more, man.
Again, the director of the Native American Indian Center of Central Ohio's name is Tyrone Smith.
Tyrone
Smith. Smith. That kind of caught me off.
Well, I just sound like an Ohio State running back. I'm just throwing it out there. So wait a minute. What did they canceled it because they couldn't?
They couldn't pay anybody to take the day off, and they couldn't also pay for the festival. All the security that was necessary. The streets needed to be closed off. The permits for the different things. So basically, they made it a wash.
But I mean, like, if every city celebrated what their name is, like, think about places like Beaver Lake, Pennsylvania. One day a year, like,
yeah,
I'm going, man.
It's all
right. I mean, Intercourse, Pennsylvania, I'm there. Celebrate your name. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. More of the random question coming up. 844-999. Ola, you are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Ola, bitch, Ola. You have entered the men's room.
Another round of profile is coming up. And yes, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day. In the meantime, more of the random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello, Tommy.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Ola.
Ola.
Tommy, welcome to the show. Let's give you one of these.
Thank you.
What happened with your neighbors?
Oh, my God. Let's see. So my upstairs neighbor, he passed away from cancer, and I acquired his dead cat. And
you said you acquired his dead cat?
No, I acquired a dead man's cat.
Oh, the dead man's cat.
All
right.
Yeah, super nice guy, made weed brownies for everyone, just chilled. And now I have his cat, and it wakes up with his butt in my face every morning crying.
Do you think he still wants to go upstairs and see his dad, or what do you think?
I want to say that, but it's an animal that I never had previous acquaintances with, so I don't know its habits and what he did with it, or if it was confined, but I don't let it go outside. And yeah, I think it's weird because she cries because she misses him, but I just had to take care of
him. That's good. How long have you had the cat?
4 months now.
I think things will settle down eventually. Yeah, that's kind of early on.
How did you end up with the cat? Like, how does someone die? And like you said, you don't have previous cat or pet experience, and now suddenly you end up with a cat.
So his good friend that actually lived above me, because I live in a house, like the 5-unit kind of thing, he's trying to get all this stuff off, to sell or, pay for the funeral or whatever. So I was like, I'll take the cat out of sympathy. And this guy tried to give me not just a used mattress from another person, but a used mattress from a dead person.
The guy died on, and probably.
So I was like, I'll take the cat, but the mattress stays. Like,
yeah, there's certain things that you don't really should ever buy used. I think a mattress is one of those things, universally speaking, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why there's a tag on there that says resale of this is basically probably illegal. You can give it away to somebody.
Should just say gross. Don't do it.
Reason we asked what happened with your neighbors. Robin, where is Burlington, North Carolina? You spent a lot of your time there. Is that near our friends at Fayetteville at Rock 103? Or is it?
I want to say it's a couple hours west of them. Okay. So it's kind of in the middle of the state, to my knowledge.
That'd be the Piedmont.
Correct.
The story goes like this. A mother threw her 1-year-old child to the ground. A mother threw her 1-year-old child to the ground after her neighbor refused her a beer. Kaisha Willis of Burlington faces charges of assault on a child under the age of 12, simple assault, and resistive arrest. Officers were called to the apartment complex at about 4:30 in the afternoon. Police said the suspect went to just go and visit her neighbor. Willis allegedly demanded that her neighbor give her a beer, and when she didn't get one, she threw her child on the ground, according to police.
Well, she threw her own child on
the
ground.
That is correct. And then she began to assault the neighbor. Police said that the social services was contacted. The child was placed in the custody of a grandparent. The child did not have any type of lasting injuries, and the mom was jailed under a secured bond of $5,000.
I mean, look, man, I know sometimes, like, you might have a bad day at work, come home, and the kids get the ugly end of it because you have no patience, but I can't think, like, when am I going to grab my kid and throw him to the ground, period?
Because I didn't get what I wanted.
Right. Then when am I going to throw my kid to the ground because someone turned me down for a beer? I mean, don't you just feel like maybe that kid should have been with the grandparent before this?
Yep.
Random, random.
It's a good thing
random,
the kid's with the grandparent
random,
now.
Random, yes. Random, hello, Sean. Welcome to random, the men's room. Random. Hola.
Hola. How you guys doing today?
Doing great, Sean. Thanks, brother. Let's go with this one. What's the most disturbing thing you've ever seen or found?
Let's make that about two things I've seen while working. I've seen two dead bodies on the road.
What do you do for a living? And don't tell me you're a hitman.
I wish. They make great money. No, I drive a bus for Metro Access, so I help special needs and elderly and disabled get around. So
you're always lowering that ramp and taking it nice and slow.
Yep.
Now, did you stumble upon this, or did you come upon a wreck, or what was the circumstance?
Did you hit them?
So, the first one, I was driving up Highway 18 going into Federal Way, and there's traffic going eastbound on Highway 18, and I happened to look over, and apparently somebody had jumped off of the bridge from Military Road above 18. Boy.
It's hard to see. Those things are terrible. A couple accidents I've stumbled upon where just like, oh, God.
Well, it's so much different than the movies, though. Like, in the movie, you see somebody get shot, hit by a car, you're like, yeah, whatever. You see in real life, you're like, this disturbs me.
This is an unbelievably disturbing story. As officials made a horrific find at a funeral home, and prepare yourself for this one, 11 dead infants have been found stored away in the ceiling of a Detroit funeral home. According to ABC News, following an anonymous letter, officials discovered the remains at Cantrell Funeral Home, which had already been closed for some previous violations.
Jesus.
The remains were stored in a cardboard box in a small coffin, tucked away in bags in a drop-down ceiling. They were mostly in a cardboard box, 9 of the 11 very small remains, according to the Detroit police. He said some infants' names are known to police, and the medical examiner is investigating at least one of the infants has been on the premise since 2009.
Jesus.
Funeral home was shut down over conditions inspectors called it deplorable and other violations and operating without proper registration. The cops just said, this is unbelievable. I am at a loss for words.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.